We invited Dr. Natalie Marks into our studio. She's a veterinarian where, in fact, we take our dogs. Daisy is still with us, the Dizzy Dappled Dachshund I sometimes refer to. Dr. Marks, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You guys do great work. You work at Blum Animal Hospital, Animal Care?
Animal Hospital.
And it's, what's the address on that? I know it's a few blocks from Wrigley.
Clark and Belmont, 3219 North Clark.
Yeah. You guys just do a terrific job over there.
Thank you.
There's a few things I wanted to talk to you about. By the way, with all of the busyness that comes around at summertime, particularly in your neighborhood and mine.
Yes.
I don't know, that's more stressful to dogs and maybe more exciting to dogs too. But do you have any advice for people when, for some reason, their dogs get a little more stressed?
Yeah, I think the first thing that's really important is understanding your dog's body language. So we sometimes assume that all of our dogs want to be social and they want to be touched and they want to be out and about and at festivals and outside Wrigley, but that's not true. And so I really encourage people to understand when a dog is anxious. So if their ears are back and they're crouching down, their behaviors are slower, they're hiding behind you, they might be yawning a lot, licking their lips, that is a sign of anxiety. And that doesn't mean we just keep pushing forward and letting a lot of people come and approach them and get into their space. We need to recognize that that's their way of communicating. I don't feel good in this situation. And we need to come up with different strategies.
That's so interesting because I put Bingo in the G7 action stroller, now with mesh canopy, and I would push him around Wrigley Field. And they have some of those indoor-outdoor bars there.
Right.
So sometimes he and I would sit and we'd have a pop, and people would come up and they'd see him sitting there, and they'd say, oh, a wiener dog in a stroller. Well, I wasn't thrilled about that scene, but that's the only way my dog could get around because he didn't walk well. So for him to get any fresh air, I'd put him in the stroller, the G7 action stroller with mesh canopy, and we'd sit there and get some fresh air. But people would stick their hands into his space, and I was always navigating that situation, you know?
Yes.
I didn't want to say, no, you can't touch my dog, and most of the time you could, but I knew it would just take one bad incident, and I'd regret it.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, it's actually National Dog Bite Prevention Week this week. Interesting that you say that. Well, the reason it's really important is because we're seeing so many more bites in homes with kids and then out and about because we are a social society with our dogs. We love being out and, you know, just like you, enjoying a cafe or going to the dog parks. And we have to feel comfortable saying, you know, I'd prefer that you not touch my dog.
Suppose I do want to allow it. Do you have advice for how a stranger should approach the dog in that situation?
Yes. So the first thing is they really should ask you, is it okay for me to touch your dog? And then you need to look at your dog and make sure that those body language tips I just said are not happening.
Ears back, licking lips.
Right. Yawning, crouching down, making slow, deliberate motions, tail tucked. A lot of those things. And then the best thing is to say, you know, my dog really likes to be touched here, and steering them away from things that are sensitive, like the face and the feet. So maybe on the back gently, or on a hip or a shoulder, a place that's considered not really a sensitive area for a dog, and show them gently how to do that before they approach.
When I reach out to any dog, I always sort of do it palm down. I sort of offer my hand like we were going to walk out onto a dance floor. Is that a strategy that's worthwhile?
I think some people are comfortable with that, but I really kind of enjoy the analogy of, you know, if you are not a person who likes to be hugged by someone who you just met, right? I'm a toucher, so I like to shake hands and hug people. Some people aren't like that. If you are one of those people and someone approaches you and all of a sudden gives you this big bear hug and you don't know them, it usually feels pretty uncomfortable and awkward. And especially if they come to you again after you show body language that you don't feel good and they do it again, your stress level is going to rise. And dogs are communicating through their body language, obviously can't communicate any way else. And so if they're doing that, we need to be respectful of that and understand that they're not feeling good. And that anxiety escalates sometimes to what we call reactivity. Reactivity is when a dog reacts adversely in a situation that would be considered normal. So that's when a bite happens. They're being touched in a way they don't feel good. They're showing signs of anxiety. We're not acknowledging it. We're letting that behavior continue to happen. And then they react.
About that, Dave had a comment or an observation. Dave, you're on WGN. What's your strategy here?
Good afternoon, King John, and your guest.
Hey.
The next thing you should do is get down to the dog's level, either get down on one knee or both knees, because dogs, canines, really don't like to look up at things. They feel fairly threatened, okay? But as long as you're eye-to-eye to them and then reach out, most times they don't get real nervous.
That's an interesting strategy, Dave. Thanks for the call, and let's let her comment.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some validity to being at a dog's level. It's not always possible in some of our little Yorkies and small breed dogs. The other thing, though, is that dogs really don't like to be addressed directly in the eye on first greeting. So in fear-free strategies, which is a new initiative where we're reducing fear, anxiety, and stress in dogs and recognizing their emotional health, we like to approach them parallel. So if a dog is facing forward, I'll approach them parallel to them at their shoulder, which is usually the least stressful place for them. Hmm. And so we're kind of at their level, paralleling their universe, but not really approaching them in a way that's confrontational.
Speaking of dog stress, 312-981-7200. You can call or text 312-981-7200. Pardon me for using this interview just for my own personal purposes, but maybe other people can relate. When we travel, my dog doesn't eat that well. I suppose for obvious reasons, right? It's just a different circumstance. Somebody else is there or she's being sheltered. But mostly my son or a neighbor will watch the dog. But our first question when we call is did Daisy eat? And she'll take a day plus off from eating. And I hate that scene too. Now, I know that there's a product on the market that is it new?
It is. It's relatively new, yes.
What's that?
It's called Entice. So your stress when you travel and Daisy not eating is very common. We hear it all the time. And like we were talking about, it's not only stressful for your dog for you to be away, but flip side, it makes your travel a little more stressful because you're wondering, is she eating? What can we do to get her to eat? I feel so bad. I left her. All those kind of things. So inappetence, which is when dogs are not eating, whether they're not eating completely or they're decreasing their appetite or maybe their eating patterns change, can be from lots of different things, but stress and anxiety is one of them. So for dogs that are really affected by that now, we also have something that's actually an FDA-approved appetite stimulant to help them in these stressful times.
It's kind of funny because most dogs don't need any help eating, right? Because dogs just eat.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
There's quite a few picky dogs out there, and it can be really stressful on the human-animal bond. I have a lot of clients that come in and are having to hand feed their dog, or they're celebrating that their dog actually ate one meal. Don't have that problem.
No. Daisy, you know, Daisy's a rescue. You know Daisy, and she's skittish around me anyway. She's great around other people and Brenda, but I happen to live there. So part of her life is filled with anxiety, and sometimes she won't eat unless we hand feed her, which I think is ridiculous. My attitude is eventually she'll come around, but that's a hell of a way to live. So what we would put this in the food?
We'd actually give it directly in her mouth. It's just one of the different strategies out there to help her eat.
How long before it would stimulate the appetite?
Sometimes within 24 hours.
Really?
So
if we were traveling, we could give her this liquid.
Yep.
And the next day she'd be a little more hungry.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way that this medication works. There's a hormone in a dog's body called ghrelin, they just recently discovered. And that hormone actually tells the brain that they are hungry. So for dogs that are anxious, if they're struggling with that, and for people out there that struggle with anxiety, I'm sure they can relate that when you're feeling anxious or stressed, there are changes in your body where they suppress your appetite and you don't feel like eating.
Sure,
so if that's happening for these dogs, we can help override that. Nutrition is so important. And if your dog is to the point where it's taking several days for them to eat in an anxious event, this is just one of the strategies that we can use to help them have a much better experience for not only your dog, but also for you when you're away.
And I'll bet you I know what you're going to say about this. So what we do when the dog doesn't eat is then we say, okay, we'll give her salami. We'll give her something that is maybe more appealing, but not necessarily healthy.
Well, two things there. Yes, sometimes that can cause changes in their GI tract or pancreatitis or lots of other things. But also the thing is we're not really addressing the underlying problem. And that's something that veterinarians, we've had to relearn. Because in the past, like I was saying, you know, people call and say, oh, my dog's not eating well. And I'll say, oh, well, sprinkle some Parmesan cheese or try something from the table. But what we really weren't addressing is why they weren't eating in the first place. And that's much more important.
So where the dog has anxiety, and this, what's this stuff called?
This is the appetite stimulant. It's called Entice.
Does everybody have this now?
It's in the U.S., and so you can talk to your veterinarian about it.
Okay, so exactly. The circumstance would be after surgery, my dog didn't want to eat. Yes. We're traveling. The dog doesn't want to eat. I don't know, whatever the heck. 4th of July.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. So lots of different things. Things acutely, like you're mentioning, different stresses that they've had. But also we're using it for chronic diseases. So dogs that have kidney failure and heart failure and inflammatory bowel disease and cancer.
Do they have something like this for humans? Because I know some people, for a variety of reasons, are not interested in eating and should.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know for sure if they're working on it. They certainly should be. But what a wonderful thing for geriatrics, right?
Oh my gosh,
if we could come up with something like this.
Or maybe just go ahead and give it a shot. Just take a mouthful of it.
I'll let you do that.
That's the silly talk show host, not the accomplished veterinarian being silly. Do not do that. Okay, more calls and texts for our guests. The number's 312-981-7200. Dr. Natalie Marks is here. You got a question about how to better interact with, or your dog can better interact with? In fact, the next call is, okay, it says, what about dogs interacting with other dogs? We talked about somebody coming upon your pet on the street and they want to pet it. How do you handle that scene? What about when there's two pets? Next on WGN. Okay, so we're talking about this, stuff with Dr. Natalie Marks. If your dog is especially anxious or for some reason their appetite's gone away, you give them this entice and it will entice their appetite and get them eating. I suppose if they eat and eat healthier, it's a better chance that they'll overcome the illness or whatever it is that's bothering them anyway.
Absolutely.
We were also talking about just how you deal with dogs who are stressed because they're interacting with people or other pets. For instance, let me just see what, I think that was Diane's question. Is that right, Diane? You're on the air. Hi.
Yes, I am. I had an incident, a couple of them actually, where someone thought my dog was aggressive when he actually was very friendly and could interact with other dogs very well. But these were dogs that didn't know the proper social behavior. And the first time they met my dog, they were off leash and ran toward him and wanted to be there instantly. His first reaction was to back up a little bit. His second reaction was to give a little grumble. And then when finally the dog jumped him, he kind of lashed back without drawing any blood, but said, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Let's, this whole scene, what do you have to say about that?
You know, Diane, I'm sorry that happened to you. It happens more often than we want it to because people aren't obeying the leash laws in the city. And your dog did completely normal communicative behavior for him. So having two dogs approaching him while he was probably on a leash and had a barrier is very threatening. He gave, it sounds like, social cues to those dogs by backing up, lifting up his lip, growling, whatever other signs he probably was showing. Those dogs were not paying attention, and he did react. I don't think that was necessarily inappropriate behavior on your dog. It's actually very normal dog behavior in that instance.
Two dogs on a leash, though. They were approaching each other on a sidewalk. What should the owners do?
The first thing is to watch your dog's body language, because that recognition of dog body language early on can save so many incidents between dog to dog and also dog to people. So if your dog is starting to show those signs of anxiety, and again, ears back, lip curling, tail tucking, making themselves small, yawning, all those things. Big thing, yawning is a sign of anxiety. Your dog is not tired. Your
Isn't
dog
that interesting?
Is anxious.
And I want the other owner to recognize that. Because you go, oh, my dog's friendly, he wants to visit. But if that dog doesn't, it's your obligation to pull away.
That's right. And that's okay. I think the other thing we have to understand is not every dog needs to be a socialite and be all over the city and every dog park off leash. Not every dog wants to be like that, and they don't have to be like that. You can enjoy them.
30 seconds. Let's just take another quick question about this whole arena. Christina, what was your situation? You're on the air.
We have a rescue, and he is anxious around all other people except for our family. He loves my children. He loves people that come by on a regular basis. But anytime we have somebody wants to have a play date or we want to have guests over, we have to lock him up, and it seems really, you know, he's more comfortable there. But is there something like doggy Prozac? Is there something, a long-term drug that can maybe take the edge off of him?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question and very good question. So really quick, rescues take quite a bit of time to adjust to situations and to trust. And he, with the expectation you need to have, he may never be okay with a lot of people at your house or play dates. That just may be him. But if your goal for him and your family is to be able to participate in these, it will take some time. It's going to take some behavioral modification, working with a trainer in your home and understanding what triggers he has to these guests. Is it motion? Is it noise? Is it their behaviors towards him? And also working with your veterinarian on different anti-anxiety strategies. There's some natural and also some pharmaceutical working together.
You're not against
that can help.
A pharmacological remedy to this.
I am not, because anxiety is an illness. We know that in humans. We've had a stigma in veterinary medicine for a long time, and we know that's not the case anymore. So there's a combination therapy that's really helpful.
Dr. Natalie Marks from the Blum Animal Hospital in Chicago. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This was fun. My phone lines are ringing more for you than the normal stuff I do. So why don't you come back sometime?
I'd love to.